listening to all of you here, I really wonder who is sponsoring who, who's protecting who, who's supporting who. Does Israel support and protect the imperialist camp, or the imperialist camp protects and supports Israel? In fact, this can be an ongoing debate and dialogue, who sponsors who supports who protects who. But in the end, they both support each other. They all protect each other because they belong to the same ideology. They belong to the same camp. They belong to the same strategy in the world, not only in the region. While the imperialist camp supports Israel to continue a regional superpower that has the superiority, economic, political, military superiority in the region, and controls the people, the nations, who will end up also a cheap labor to support the Israeli superiority regime, or Israel supports the imperialists by protecting and being the military base for them to maintain their control of the region. This is a natural interest, and this is how the capitalism and how the imperialist world functions, by natural interest. But that doesn't stop me a lot to analyze who interests who, because I can see clearly how they are interdependent creatures on each other. But what I care about, that this has to be confronted by the people. The people are somewhere, and these who make these policies and the strategies somewhere else, and they don't care. But we care. We care about the future of the humanity everywhere else in the world. What I also want to say, that the war and terror and the anti-war movement, I was a bit surprised, in fact, to hear that there's a lot of support on the among the people, among different citizens of the world, regarding the war in Iraq, but they won't be very much. They might agree on the issue of Israel and the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. So let's go. Let's unify ourselves and fight for the anti-war camp. But when it comes to the Palestinian issue, we know that we can disagree. So let's not just put it aside, which seems that will not help the whole issue of the war in terror. That won't help a lot the anti-war movement, because the war in Iraq has different face, but there is another war in Palestine that seems to be even more catastrophic. I mean, I won't even compare, because we all, Palestinian and Iraqi people, we all face the consequences of this barbarian invasion in our region. So I would encourage you, every time you go to this anti-war movement or being part of anti-war movement, not to separate the two issues. Present them strongly, because they are the same. There is no difference between the genocide of the Iraqi people and the genocide of the Palestinians by the Zionist movement. It is the same entity. They belong to the same camp. There is no need to separate the two issues. It's really, sometimes it hurts us as Palestinians to see how can this happen among the anti-war movement. There are some anti-war movements in Britain, for example, who have solved this issue. They say Palestinian cause, Iraqi cause, Lebanese cause, Syrian cause, Iranian cause, they are all the same. And we are fighting the same enemy. They have different faces in the region, and we know what they are planned. Some other regions, they would say, some other places, they would say, no, Palestinian and Israeli issue is more delicate. We don't want to be accused of anti-Semite. It's more crucial. We don't want to be identified of supporting terrorist Palestinians, or we don't want to be identified supporting to be identified being anti-Semite and all this issue. You have a strong debate now. You know what is the right. You know what is going on. And I think you can, and I can, and with everybody here, can easily justify what is happening in Iraq to the same enemy, the same one who is committing this genocide and ethnic cleansing in Palestine. Last thing I want to say, the war in terror as an issue, I spoke a lot about it, but the war in terror as a concept started and targeted, the first who were targeted by this war in terror are the Palestinian people. It has been used to justify the sanctions and embargo on the Palestinians that all Europe Australia, America are united in that. They are, in the name of the war on terror, they are starving the Palestinian people today, leaving 75% of the Palestinian living under poverty level, which means starving children, preventing them from education, preventing them from healthcare, preventing them from having the basic survival needs, and justifying for Israel to go and humiliate, to go on and violate all the human rights principles. In the name of terror, the war in terror, the Palestinians have been punished for their democratic choices that didn't seem to please the Western and the Europeans. This is the world. The first one who were targeted by this war in terror and benefited from this war in terror scheme is Israel, because Israel can easily go and continue its crimes against the Palestinians in the name of this war on terror. So I encourage you to go ahead and fight the war on terror, not only against Guantanamo, because in Guantanamo there are hundreds of those who had been convicted as a terrorist, but in Palestine there are 10,000 Palestinians under the name of terror, living in the prisons now, women and men who have been in prison, 10,000 Palestinians, and their number is increasing every day. They live similar conditions as the Guantanamo prisoners are living, if not worse. Israel has been training these interrogators in Guantanamo and in Iraq, in Abu Ghraib, how to torture prisoners. So in Palestine, the situation is even worse, but not much has been going circulating around, because there is maybe no Australian prisoners there. Maybe there is no British or French prisoners there, because the prisoners are Palestinians. But they are witnessing even more terrible, horrific, terrifying living conditions. You know that one woman gave birth inside the prison. When she gave birth, she had her feet with the bars, shackles. She gave birth to a baby with the shackles in her feet, because she was identified as terrorist. And she gave birth to a baby inside the prison. Now the baby lives with a new child. Came to the world in prison. He was in prison. And this woman, she was not even convicted as a suicide bomber. She was convicted for any other reason, and she couldn't even have the right to give birth as a free woman. Imagine, this is the war on terrorism. This is what they call it, the human face of the Israeli civilization. This is how Israel came to the region, and they justify the Palestinians are the terrorists. This is how bad it can be. Many young people had been dying inside while they were interrogated, because the interrogation and using torture against the prisoners in Israel has been legal and legitimized by this racist entity. That's why they can go ahead and use torture the way they like, the way they think it's proper, to get the Palestinians confess things that they might even have been committed under the pressure and under the pain and under the torture. This is how it looks like nowadays. Nowadays, Palestinians, where do they live? We live in big prison. We don't even enjoy minimum freedom of mobility. The minimum. We live in six different, totally separated prisons. And the story of the child I told you a few days ago, I know most of you have heard that. That's not a shocking story in terms of it's a unique story. This is what happens every month. You go to the checkpoints every day. You open the newspaper, there is a new horrifying, terrible story of people dying on the checkpoint, of people being tortured on the checkpoint, of people denied the basic human treatment on the checkpoints because had been perceived as Palestinian. You are born to be a terrorist, and because you are born to be a terrorist, we justify under the name or under the slogan of war and terror to disgrace you, to humiliate you, to kill you even. And we will be going away, and we justified, and we are perceived as the human face and the civilized face of the Western civilization. This is how Israel identifies itself. And this is how the Palestinians have no choice but to fight, not only to fight for their survival, but to fight for their future in this place. And we, as John has just said, we don't have time. Time doesn't play for our side. We have to go more tough, and we have to go more determined to put an end to this atrocities. Otherwise, they will continue, and nobody will stop them, and they are determined, and we are determined to continue fighting them. Thank you very much.